this was like, this is my project.
It's yours. No one can tell you what set, what did not do.
No, yeah.
No one can stop you.
It's all me to
You made the order.
Destroy.
Yeah.
Or lift up.
Okay.
Destroy or build.
Are you trying to call yourself a god?
Oh, have you, I mean,
is this what the hair does?
Have you seen my hair?
Y'all, it's Lace.
It's Catherine. And this is a meaties episode of Cheaties Podcast.
Yeah, Cheaties for now. You know, Catherine, we've been talking.
And we've heard other people talk too. And we think we might do a big transish. Should we just say it?
We might do it. And here's the thing, we're not going to, there's no official announcement. Because there's no one to hold us back. There's no one to hold us down. But there's no one to also make us move forward or not except ourselves and our listeners. So we want your feedback. We want to know what y'all think about potentially switching over. Because now it's officially, this is the month. You know that we just hit our 4-year anniversary.
Wild. Wow, 4 years?
March 2020, 4-year anniversary of this.
So much has changed and yet so much is the same.
It's exactly the same. I hate you. Exact same amount as I did. Actually, you know what? More.
Dude, you know what's so crazy?
A little more than I did when we started.
I don't hate you at all. And I used to.
But you know what's crazy is it almost equals itself out because I unfortunately love you.
I know it is. I think that's how most people feel about me. They're so kind of.
Joel's shaking his head. I don't know if he disagrees.
It's
producer
Joel. It's an aggravated admiration people have for me.
Yeah,
they're like, God, damn
I don't want to like her.
You know what people want? You know what people's hearts say about me? They go, "You little rascal."
No, that's not the word I use. But it's been 4 years this month since we started this podcast, and here's the deal, listener. We are thinking about these episodes we have that are called meaties, right? It's about meeting, you know, checking in, meeting up for the week to see what's going on.
Meeting each other halfway.
We're meeting each other halfway.
Yeah. Also
halfway.
What's going on with our
across
lives?
The country. Yeah.
And our bodies full of meat.
Also that. So we were thinking M-E-E-T-I-E-S, meaties, like we're meeting up.
Yeah.
We're meeting up. Or do we switch it over to meaties, M-E-A-T-I-E-S? This is going to be easy transition for listeners, for us, for everything, because we can get down to the meat.
So yeah, so I think every week will mostly be
to the meaties,
unless somebody calls with a cheating story, you know, and they're like, "I got one to tell us."
If it's a meaty cheaty story,
yeah, we'll do
then it fits into meaties.
Yeah, and we'll do it. But I don't
if
think
you got
gonna
a meaty story at all, if you got a scandalous story to tell us,
yeah, that's good. There's some meat on that bone.
There's some meat on the bone. And also, if we get guests in the room, they don't have to tell us a cheating story because we want to open up these gates. Life is wild. We have learned shit can change so quickly and our worlds can get so much bigger. So we want to open up to whatever guests might come on. We want to get down to the meat of it. If we want to get into a meaty story with them.
Yeah, I mean, you're selling meat, but people just like meat. They don't need to be sold so much. We're just,
okay.
It's probably going to change well, into just meaties.
Okay. I want their opinions.
Oh, okay. If you
that's
guys
why.
Would miss having a Cheaties episode every other week, or do you like mostly meaties and we just, it'll be Lace and I, we'll have guests every other week. We'll bring on, we'll hear their meaty stories. And then maybe we'll have cheating every now and then, but we will not dedicate every other episode to a cheating story. What do you guys think about my hair? Sorry, that transition.
Yeah, that's okay. And speaking of transitions, this is a good transition into a first topic for this episode, this meaties episode, Catherine, is your hair. I think this is good. We've talked about it a little already in the podcast, last couple meaties, but now that you've got extensions sewn into your head, you're a different person. How do you feel? What does it feel like to finally have hair for someone who's had just tufts of
who's
weeds?
Who's had whispers on top of a scalp?
Yeah. Who's just had
Who said?
Of hay.
Yeah. Who's had a cloud, a mist covering my scalp?
Who for looks 32 like years? Who looks like any of the dogs that I follow?
Elderly dogs
that go
behind
through,
on top of my head.
That they get rescued off the streets of Thailand, and that dude like feeds them every day. Feeds like 800 dogs every morning, and
I
then
hate how this is going.
And when they find the dogs, sometimes they've like gone through mange or they've been abused, and then there's like this transition period where you can see them getting healthier, and then their hair starts to come back, and then you get to see what kind of dog they really are. Because when you first see them on the street and they don't have any hair, you're like, oh, it's a chupacabra.
Yeah.
And then their hair grows in, you're like, oh my God, it's a golden retriever. That's kind of what's going on. That's you.
You're like, oh my God, thank God we didn't put you down.
That's exactly. You were on death's door.
Like, you were so hideous.
but we were so close, you
were hard to look at.
But just like the dogs.
You had so much fight in you. You had so much spirit.
It's just like the dogs in the rescue videos.
We washed you up.
They don't know what they look like.
No.
And they just keep going on. They just wag their tails. Their ears go up. They're excited. They don't know that they're rubbing their half dried, you know, matted faces on you.
Yeah, flaky skin.
But they're just trying to say they love you.
Yeah, that's
psoriasis
me.
And all, and that's unwashed, you know, just of the streets for the streets, and then that's been you. You've had a great attitude the whole time.
I know, that's what's so scary about the hair. Thank you so much, because I think, you know, I really was a little bit of a monster, but mm-hmm. the hair held me back because I was like, as much as cocky as I want to get.
That's right.
I still have a bald spot. And the bald spot would keep me humble, right?
Yeah.
But now.
Yeah, it made people like you because they were like, oh, well, she's got thin hair. Yeah. She's got to make up for it.
Yeah. Or maybe I'll get more of my way now because I'm a bitch, but I'm also Barbie.
Full hair. Yeah. It's weird. It's been weird to watch you come and turn into this. Well, it's in Monster's a perfect word because it's the animal.
I think I'm going to get more of it. I think I'm addicted to it.
But how many wefts do you have in? Is it two, or is it the one or two?
I like when we call them tracks, and I know that's not right.
I know it's not right either.
Explain to me the tracks are... You braid the hair into different woven patterns.
Yeah.
Like railroad tracks.
And that's why they're called tracks. I thought it was because they're tracks of hair. Like the hair itself, like the extensions that are like sewn together, that are sewn in, that's a track. I thought each one was a track, like track homes.
Yeah.
Like tracked homes. Track no, not like track and field. That's different. Tracked.
No, track, field.
Track and field. Tracks and field. I don't know. It's
exactly.
hard to.
Exactly. And that's.
Yeah.
That's what I did in high school. That's my extracurricular. Track and field.
Track and field.
It doesn't even make sense.
For the listeners, we're just pointing between crotch and head, and neither makes sense. But
so,
yeah. So
I've
I don't know if they're. I don't know what they are. Sew-ins, weft. It doesn't matter. It's extensions.
It's a weft, and it feels so good. And we just pulled in from the airport after taping the special, and then going out all night, and waking up and getting ourselves together and getting to the airport, and we came out here. And we're so tired. So this is why I don't need to put makeup on and brush my hair because I got hair extensions now, and I don't want to be too much. You know, I don't want to be too beautiful all the time. So,
well, you did brush your hair before, so why would you start now?
No, I don't.
I didn't expect that to change.
But I was worried about this for 2 days, and I've already stopped caring about this. So I have a bad calic in the back of my hair that I got to learn how to tease a little bit at the root.
To go over the extension.
And then, kind of... tumbleweed it over.
Mm-hmm.
The weft.
Yep.
It does feel like a tumble. It's a small tumbleweed that you keep at the top of the crown of your hair.
Yep.
It feels disgusting and barbaric.
Oh, and
but you realize that this is actually what the classiest of people do.
Yeah, but it also looks disgusting.
Well, on my head right now.
Yeah. So.
So.
But we just want to shout out because I also bought extensions, but I went the other way around. I got the ones that you clip in. And I don't know what's better. I can't figure it out. Because I put them in.
Look at me.
It's cool to have the
option. Have you figured it out yet?
I put them in for your special taping and I felt powerful.
It feels.
And then I take them out and then I'm like, I used to like my hair, but you add extensions in, then you take them out and I'm like, I'm so fucking ugly.
Yeah.
My hair is so thin.
The real you is horrendous.
It's and I'm so not bad.
Just you, but you're including this, but yeah, like the world.
Of course. No, if I've learned anything, it's the real us is just a blank slate that we need to make better.
Yes. God did not give us our bodies to enjoy. God gave us our bodies as a canvas to improve upon.
I'm going
to
be honest. The Miss America program had it right. They should stop entry at 24 years old, you know?
Ain't no sip and sip.
You're
sip
over.
Sip and paint is where you go with your girlfriends and you go into an activity and drink wine and then you just stare at a blank canvas. You go in there with drink wine and paint a masterpiece. And that's what God wants us to do with life.
He
gives us our bodies. And he says, how are you going to make it better?
That's right. And so you get drunk and you put paint on it and you think it looks great. But then the next day when you're looking, it looks like shit. It's just like all the pictures we took last night after the special taping.
Joel,
we thought we were so hot.
I took these last night.
We were so hot.
Genuinely, I thought.
We all do this, right?
Genuinely. Wait. There's a video. Me blinking.
We're not the only ones who do this. I know that everybody who goes out and indulges, whether it be smoke or bev, and you're feeling yourself, you're feeling good. Maybe you had some hair, makeup done. You were looking good earlier in the night. But then as your eyes, they start to close, they start to redden, the face starts to swell, the eyelashes start to fade, the wefts start to show.
But we
feel so good.
We feel so effing hot.
We took so many pictures. I have so many times.
We took so many pictures with like
the pouty face.
A slight pout.
What was the word you taught me years ago that you're supposed to say for pictures?
Prune.
Prune. Prune.
You know who prunes?
Prune.
Mary-Kate and Ashley Olsen.
Oh.
Prune.
Prune.
We prune in our dark black raincoats. We prune.
Dark black raincoats?
Raincoats.
Then comes.
That's all they wear now.
Prune. Yeah. So we took so many sexy pictures, we thought at the time, and I've done this a million times in my life, a party. I'm like, God damn, I look good. I might even send it to people. Ugh.
And then the next day you look back and it looks like you just found out like the last greyhound out of the city broke down and you're going to be on the side of the road all night and you're tired and you're like, what? But that night, you took that picture, you were like, uh-oh, I'm a dewy, wet, naked, silly little girl. Ooh, are you going to give me a bath, daddy?
Oh, no, that's not. I was going to say you take it at night. I feel hot. I feel flawless. I feel like Sydney Sweeney or Meg Thee Stallion.
That's exactly what I just described.
And then I wake up and I look back and it looks like a mugshot after I killed my family. It looks like they just drug me out of the van that I drove my three kids into the ocean with. And the cops pull up
and they
drive over the sand dunes and they get to me.
And
then they stop my Honda Odyssey and they drag me out.
And the thing you're pissed off mostly is that you didn't grab the leftover chicken nuggets that were still.
Yeah, and I'm just thinking how hungry I am and maybe that's why I killed them. But maybe if Mama didn't have to wait to eat last, she wouldn't be so hungry. You know, you get hangry.
That mugshot's like this. Yeah. It's not devastated. It's like, I told you I was going to come back there.
That's right. Don't make me come back there.
I thought I was going to come back there.
Well, so we took all these cute pictures of ourselves last night because we had such a great night because Catherine Blanford, you killed your fucking special taping. I'm going to say it. You know what? I'm not ashamed to say it. I'm not ashamed to say it was great.
Does it hurt you to say it though?
Oh, anytime I compliment you hurts. Oh, a little piece of me leaves. And that's why my hair feels so thin. And I think it's coming out of my hair first.
Every time you give a compliment... A hair falls from your
hair scalp. Falls, yeah. If I reached in right now, it'd be like a handful. Okay, so let's talk about it. We got to Houston. You filmed it in Houston, Texas. This is, remember everybody, back when we advertised for, I don't know, like 20 straight episodes to make sure to go see Catherine's special taping in Louisville, Kentucky on December 20, what was it? It was supposed to be 26th,
27th. Before Christmas.
That's what it was. The 23rd. 23rd, 24th. Go see Catherine and me in Louisville, Kentucky. And then that got canceled. We talked about that. Go back and check those episodes. But then you redid it for this at the Riot in Houston, Texas.
So glad I waited.
I mean, this was it. This was it.
Yes. Okay, but we need to back up before we talk. Well, we can talk.
Okay, what's the order?
But I have to get something out of, I had to work something out with you for a second. Mm. Okay, all right, we'll say this and then we'll get there. I'm glad I waited. I'm so glad I waited. You know, it's one of those things where you say at the time it sucks, but when all the chips fall as they're supposed to, it all works out.
Yeah, I don't think that's the analogy, but yeah, I know what you're saying. Yeah. When it all comes together.
Yeah, I read that in the Bible. That's Psalms 97:11.
Yeah.
Psalms is a your neighbor reference.
I got it.
Okay, it was fate. So obviously we know I am okay. I couldn't find a horse for the longest time.
Oh yeah,
and
well
then
yeah.
Put on the stage because there was a prop company I was stalking. I even had a friend Mason James, who's a comic in Houston, go to the place of business, and they were like, "We're a curtain store," and I couldn't find the horse. And then I just last minute. Last ditch attempt, I went and found one on Facebook Marketplace.
Yeah.
It was the most perfect one. And even when she first quoted me, I was like, I can't fathom it. And then I looked at a few others that were just like not, they were like 500 pounds and not movable. So I went back to her and I worked out a
deal. How much did this horse weigh? Okay, so for those of you who are listening, if you don't remember, she rented a horse for the last special that didn't happen. And it was a big silver horse. It got delivered. It was there. But you couldn't get your money back because you had already put it down. So you had to still keep that horse the whole weekend. That's so hilarious. You didn't even shoot a special, but you had to keep the horse.
Yeah, but I didn't even call them and ask if I can get my money back. I was just like,
oh, you're just
your
like,
special got canceled. You might as well treat yourself to a weekend with a horse on stage.
Okay, so... And then for Houston, you needed another horse because that idea is locked in your head. You're going to do it. It's very reminiscent of Renaissance.
Yeah.
Beyonce Renaissance, Cowboy Carter as well.
Yes.
So needed to get
also,
this horse.
Horse girl. Like the
yeah,
past
horse
whole
girl.
Past year and a half, my merch, I talk about growing up and being a horse girl, but I did it. My parents didn't get me a horse, so I had to be a horse, and I would pull somebody on stage and we'd have a day off.
Yep.
So it was always horse girl themed. So
but now some people would have been like, oh, you could like project a horse on like a projector behind you or have like a cardboard horse or like, you know, like just a half a horse, like a half a horse on the stage. But you, I see you short circuiting right now, just trying to imagine not a full 4D horse on stage.
Yeah,
this horse, y'all, it was 8 feet long.
It was so perfect.
What, 7 feet tall?
It's 8 feet by 31 inches is what the doorway needed to be.
How many hands is it? We didn't even count hands.
Not enough.
We didn't even count the hands on
no,
the horse.
No, we didn't. It was a mirrored disco horse, so like it just had little white tiles all around it.
It was a
Beyonce
white
themed.
Disco yeah. horse.
Yeah, his name was Whisper. It was very much a gamble. I had never seen it because I wasn't in Houston. I couldn't see it. I couldn't measure it. I didn't really. I just texted Brian Gendron, the owner of the Riot, and asked if it could fit and if we could bring it up. And everybody said yeah. So I gave him a lot of money and just hope and prayed when it got there the day of the taping.
That was so fucking risky too, to fly in and then the horse is coming the day of.
Yeah,
this glass horse,
giant horse. Like also, if it didn't fit, it would have still had to been there. Like
you would have had it shot in the stairwell.
Yeah,
if it didn't make it,
I would
it
have
up.
Shot in the stairwheel.
Stairwell.
Yeah,
my brain fell out last night. We were up till 4 a.m. in Houston after your special, which would have been 5 a.m. here. So I'm not here yet.
So,
okay.
All right.
So horse. So we went to go check on it the morning of your recording.
We get there.
We go
Dude,
in the morning.
We get there, and it's like fate. Okay. So not only is it fate, not only is it the most perfect looking horse on the
She's
stage.
Gorgeous.
It's perfect.
He's gorgeous. It's gorgeous.
But we wake up Friday morning in Houston, Texas, ladies and gents.
Oh, the most important thing happened.
March 29th, 2024.
Yeah.
the day Beyonce Giselle's Carter, Knowles okay? Carter.
Okay.
Releases Relax. Cowboy Carter.
Yeah.
Her country album.
Act 2.
Act 2 of Renaissance. She drops, going back to her roots. She grew her up at the radio, and she drops a Cowboy Carter, a country album. And the day I'm shooting my special.
And I just want to say, you're welcome. I planned that.
I woke up, like, there was, like a sense of, like, I felt like I died and I was in heaven.
Yeah.
It couldn't have been a more perfect.
No, it was pretty perfect.
And setting.
It was pretty perfect.
And Jolene is on it. Yeah. Dolly Parton's on it. All of our heroes are on it. Can I
Miley Cyrus, the song with Miley Cyrus, the song with Post Malone, those two are my absolute favorite ones.
Can I tell you I'm just watching your. Can I tell you the tweet I'm trying to work out in my head that in my head it makes sense?
Okay, I'm ready.
But we need to work it out.
Okay.
You know the saying, every time.
An angel, every time a.
What do you do for an angel gets wings?
Every time a bell rings, an angel gets its wings.
Every time Beyonce and Dolly Parton collab, Kid Rock gets his rings, brass knuckles.
Absolutely not. I don't even in any way whatsoever think that correlates at all or makes any sense.
So
Number one, and what does that have to do with Beyonce and Dolly? And also,
it's rings. Kid Rock is rap and country and rock all combined into one, which is what Beyonce and Dolly Parton are if you combine them.
Oh God, my brain hurts just thinking of the mental gymnastics you took to try to get there. Also, you said they collab. You should have said something about sings and then try to rhyme with rings because it's every time a rings and then a wings. But none of this makes sense.
I know, but in my head, I know it doesn't make sense, but I'll get there.
Every time.
I'm going to figure out the tweet. But do you get where I'm coming from, Joel?
No, absolutely not. Absolutely not. Every time Beyonce and Dolly sings. No, every time
Beyonce and Dolly sing.
Sing.
Kid Rock gets another track. Weft ring.
A bachelorette in Nashville gets her wings, and then the picture is a girl standing in front of wings better painted than on the side of a building in Nashville.
Damn it! I mean,
see, sometimes it's teamwork.
No, I think that's the easy way route. I think it's teamwork. Smarter, but
so the horse is delivered. I'm so excited. Should we
work that out?
Should we reveal the opening? If it works out to your special, yeah, so, or is
okay,
that
we
a secret?
Say it. We won't say it.
Oh, we're not going to do it. Okay.
We recorded an intro that is so funny. It's essentially me talking to the horse, but it's Lace's voiceover. And they're going to animate the voice talking to me, and she's absolutely talking trash to me.
Yeah,
and
she's
just
getting,
bullying the shit out of me.
She's getting bullied by the horse, by an animated disco horse.
It's going to be so good.
And, yeah.
So, okay.
It's going to be great.
Long story short, great day. We wake up, we're walking, we're listening to Beyonce, we're taking it in.
The weather was incredible on your day.
Yeah.
Because it's your special day.
It was my wedding day.
It was your wedding day. Yeah.
It felt so fun. That was the difference. So I guess I did that half hour, but I can't compare it to that. But I would, the only thing I could compare it to, I guess, is like doing the Tonight Show.
Yeah.
But it's totally different because.
Yeah, I remember.
Tonight Show, you're playing.
Same for when I did the Tonight Show.
But you're playing somebody else's game. When you do that kind of big of a thing, you're on their schedule, you know, you do what they say, and it's just 5 minutes, and you can't deviate from the 5 minutes. You're like,
right.
This is my thing, and I don't see how it goes. This was like, this is my project.
It's yours. No one can tell you what did not do.
No, yeah.
No one can stop you.
It's all me to.
You made the order.
Destroy.
Yeah.
Or lift up.
Okay.
Destroy or build.
Are you trying to call yourself a god?
Well,
is this what the hair does?
Have you seen my hair?
Have you mistaken the extensions for a halo of sorts?
I don't know. I mean, a lot of pictures I've seen of God, he kind of has this hair. Like,
so everything worked out. You wrote this set. You're proud of the set.
Right, so
you
I was
ran
a
this
nervous.
Set yeah. on the road.
I ran it in Austin.
Yep.
This past weekend, I went down with Austin and New Orleans with Spade, and then we popped back into Austin. I ran my set at Cap City Comedy Club. It was amazing. Thank you to Cap City for having me. And then I went on Monday night, it was an also I got to watch Kill Tony at the Mothership. Spade and Attell were on it.
So that's fun. So
Attell
cool.
Is, dude, the, watching Attell also won.
Oh, I still haven't seen his newest special.
It's so it is
damn
relentless.
It.
It's like
I love him
it's
so
like,
much.
He's like he's just untouchable.
Like he's the funniest comedian of all time.
What Beyonce is to rap and rock and country. Attell is to comedy. Like untouchable. Nobody else can compare.
Untouchable. Better at all the things.
Everybody else.
Better at all the things. Because there's some comics who are just great because of performance. They're better performers or they're better writers or they're better this or they're better.
He doesn't even give a shit about any of that.
He's so, it's all of it. But he is like the quintessential stand-up comic. He's got that, the I don't give a fuck like approach. He wears the exact same outfit every single time. But is so sharp and is so fucking funny. His prepared material, his material off the cuff, his just like, dude. Oh my God. His just catalog of jokes too that he can just pull out for anything. And I've worked with him before and just to watch him function is insane. I mean, it's like watching a computer, a comedy computer.
Would he bring you up after?
Yeah.
And then would you guys like go back and forth?
Yeah,
and
we would do the thing where if anyone's ever seen him live, so he'll do this thing at the end of his shows where he'll say, okay, he'll bring up one of his openers or both sometimes. And he'll say, okay, people in the audience, say what you're drinking tonight. And I'll tell you what's going to happen, how the rest of your night's going to go. That's what was this
not
what?
Does?
Oh, okay. Because that's,
oh, I don't, I would
that's what he does at his live shows. Oh. Yeah. So he brings you up and then people yell out, be like, Jameson, and he'll be like, oh, you're getting a dry hand job in an alleyway or whatever. Like, it's just
what it, would you guys do, just laugh on stage with him?
Yeah, we do it too.
Oh,
so like
yeah,
people
yeah.
would yell out a thing and then you would you kind of just like
it's so fun.
It's kind of like bumping mics or whatever. Like you're just each doing a thing,
making up crazy
you're making
stuff.
Up a thing, you kind of work off of each other, whatever.
Yeah.
Who gets there first. I mean, he's just he's the best.
Dude,
he's
imagine best. That on Kill Tony though. That was my first time actually watching a full Kill Tony.
Yeah, I have to admit, like, I haven't watched a full one either.
You should do it. It is fun, and it makes you feel better about yourself. But watching him, like, be so nice, like, complimenting them, and then making fun of Tony for, like, roasting them.
Yeah.
Oh, it was so good. It's going to be a great episode. Okay, so I do that. I'm an Austin.
Oh.
Let me tell you what Austin. This is quintessential Austin.
Okay.
This is quintessential Austin. Okay. This is why I was nervous for my special I was recording later in the week.
Why?
Bianca Parado. We were just with her.
Yep.
She just.
Yep.
She was
yep.
Open on the
second
special
opener
too.
For the special.
But she's in Austin with me. We're walking down the street and we see a couple like fighting, like they're in like formal gowns and stuff. And she's like. Then F you. And like she stands up and then she's walking away and he's like, Alice, like what do you mean by F me? Like Alice. And she and they keep walking and then and we kind of walk by and we're watching and laughing. And we stop and Bianca turns around and she goes, that was a red bottom. And I go, what? And she turns around and she goes, that was a red bottom. I go, no, that's a Coke bottle. She goes, that's a red bottom. She walks over. I can't even, I don't know how she has these. It's because she's from St. Louis.
Yeah.
And they're ready to rob at any point. Everybody from St. Louis is ready to rob something if they see the chance.
They just got sticky hands.
So, yeah.
Yeah. So she was going to, what, mug this girl and take her Louboutins?
No, they had off and there was just.
Oh, she just left her shoes?
Yeah, we go over to the bench and it's just, there is a Christian Louboutin.
Louboutin.
Red bottom shoe. One.
Uh-oh.
One.
Yeah.
So that's got to be. What, $2,700?
Sure.
And then like clearly like IDs over here. And
oh,
then
just like all
steak
they
that
these
had been
people
throughout.
Were real
yeah,
drunk.
Yeah, and we're like, whoa, what happened? And we're looking at the and then all of a sudden we're like, oh, and in the middle of all of it is a dead pigeon.
Oh God. Wait, where was the dead pigeon? Was it on the table?
Bianca's like, imagine getting into such a fight.
You killed
a pigeon.
How does that even go?
That's Austin, Texas.
You're like, okay, you're just flinging your hands at your partner. And you're like, you know what? Fucking sick of this. And
you're
run,
like,
you throw
I saw
your-
it away. You looked at your cousin. You like her.
No, you throw your hands in the air. You finally fucking had it. And you stand up. But a pigeon happens to be flying by to get that last French fry at the same time. And you just knock the shit out of a pigeon.
Well, you throw your shoe at him so hard.
Yes.
And it hits a pigeon.
And that's how the bottoms got red.
And that's how the bottom got red. Yeah. And that is the kind of, like, I know Louisiana is kind of voodoo-y, but Austin's very kind of voodoo. It's voodoo, but like it's like cocaine voodoo. You know what I mean? Huh? It's like fratty voodoo.
You just mean white witches.
Yeah, white rich shit. White witch shit.
White witches.
So
cocaine voodoo, white
cocaine
witches.
Cocaine voodoo. That's Austin, baby.
Man. Okay, so you ran it in Austin.
Ran in Austin, come crazy. Back to Atlanta.
Yep.
I run it. I've sold out 2 Laughing Skull shows.
Yeah, you did.
Which is so crazy because the last time I think I tried to do something here, it was when I was recording that 30-minute thing, and uh-huh. I couldn't even sell that out. And now I am just running my hour, and I sell it out on a Tuesday and a Wednesday.
Fucking great.
You come and do the show on Wednesday.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
And we made fun of you.
Yeah, you did. You told me to have fun, and I did have fun. And I did some silly, stupid puns about having another flat tire, third flat tire in a month and a half. And I had some very stupid puns.
I ran. Warm up the crowd for me. And Lace comes out there. She was like,
they laughed so fucking hard at the tire stuff.
Joel.
Catherine.
She did 25 puns about tires.
It was so funny.
She had 25. So then I named it
Mitch, short for Michelin. That's so funny.
I said, warm them up.
I have an extra tire. I put a wig on and put them in the passenger seat. And when the police pull you over in the HOV, you say, hey, I can't wake them up. They're very tired.
Joel.
And then say,
I said, warm them up. And say,
we just went to a bar. We got real drunk and I had to
bury them.
Wheel him out. I say, I know it's a guy because he's got bald spots.
So you know what?
And a nice set of lug nuts. Worst thing about him,
I kind of
is he's always asking me to jack him off.
I kind of
on the side of the road, and then.
I love how you're doing your podcast.
And then, after rolling around all day and getting dirty, wants a rim job. These are quality tire puns.
I hate puns because of you.
Quality tire puns.
I hate puns because of you because. It's fun. It's fun for a second, but then there's people that just can't let it go. And then the conversation is just taken over by puns. And I can't even think of the right word for a normal situation sometimes.
But Mitch and I always have safe sex because he's wearing rubber.
So I come out there and I go, she talked about how she got a flat tire on the way to get
Botox. This is good. I've got another one.
And I go, you can tell Lace got discount Botox. They already laughed at that, cracking up, sat up.
They did not at all. And I go, they didn't get the joke.
You know what a side effect of discount Botox is? Tire puns.
Wow.
So
how does that go together? In her head, she thinks it's hilarious. She didn't use that in the special.
Okay, so I'm getting out of Uber Eats. Okay, so I roast Lace. I mean, I destroy her.
She said mean things about me. I don't know if you destroyed me, but sure, go ahead.
I flatlined you.
Okay.
And then I did my sets. They were fine. They were good. I wasn't feeling super confident about the hour then. And then we go to Houston. And it's good. We wake up.
Beyonce.
Fresh. Beyonce.
Weather.
We go to the club.
Horse.
I decide, you know, it's a new era for me, Lace. I don't like turtlenecks. I don't like showing my arms. But this outfit
I
picked.
And what did you do? Sleeveless mock turtleneck.
What? Who is this
girl? Crazy choice. Who is she? We don't know.
She's got extensions now.
She's new. She's got new hair. She can do anything.
It's time to hide your neck. Show your arms, girl.
That's right. Yeah. That's right.
So I feel
that outfit was killer.
It was good.
Pleather red, skin tight pants, mock sleeveless turtleneck, just like I had 4 to 5 of my senior year of high school. All of my senior superlatives I took in that exact shirt. Ribbed.
It somehow all came
same
so
thing.
Freaking perfectly together. Like
yeah.
The lighting was dope.
Everything was good. The outfits.
The outfits came together. The horse fit perfectly on stage. The lighting was great. We sold out both shows.
Here's what I love too is that 800 pound gorilla, the production company, saw your vision and made your vision happen. Yeah, that was really what was so even, cool.
You didn't like really prep it that much.
No, it was nice to like kind of do it last minute. They're pros. You knew what you wanted. They're like, yeah, that sounds great. You're like, I'm going to bring this giant horse. They're not only did they not try to steer you away from that, they embraced it and were like, yeah, fuck yeah. And then they carried that motherfucker upstairs.
I know.
How much that thing weighed? Like 250 pounds?
Yeah. Dude, Joey Van Hagen was the director and he's going to be my editor. He's outside of Nashville. Just shout out to him. And St. Thomas was a man, half man. I'd say half bullfrog. Fantastic audio engineer.
He's awesome. Found
picked up. He's one. He has half of his head is shaved right here, and then the
hair. You know, he did that himself.
Yeah,
everything fell together. Everybody was great. Once the crowds filled in, you had two shows.
Yeah,
the goal was like
we were like kind of cramming it in there. I did hair and makeup. I scheduled it too late, but it was fine. We went in there. We did sound check.
It worked.
Hair makeup was like we were kind of rushing to do it. But it worked.
We were able to like do warm up or run through and while you're doing hair makeup and getting like pre-show shots, like photos, because you had a still photo person there. You had everybody there and you got all of it done. And then showtime creeps around.
The feeling is different because it's like I felt like. There's no certainty, you know what
no.
I mean? Like, all of a sudden you see there's cameras and a whole crew there.
Yep.
And it's not just a show that you can have fun and dick around all of a sudden. Like,
no.
You're like, all this is on me. All this is on my shoulders.
You've got an order that you need to get out. You've got certain callbacks that go to certain jokes. You've got each of these jokes that need to be done well because, you know.
Yeah.
This is it. This is the recording of it. So you can't like, because a lot of us, for those of you who listen who aren't comedians, which I think is at least two people who listen who aren't comedians, they like you. What was I trying to say?
It feels
like it's important to get it all in a certain order. Perfect. Like you want to get it perfect. Oh, that's what I was going to say. For those of you who aren't comedians, when you see a live comedian do like an hour, we might switch around the order of some jokes or like just be in the moment, do a little crowd work here, forget like a certain tag, but then come back to it later, whatever. When you're doing a recorded special, you want things to be in a certain order because you kind of want to think of it as like a CD, like a music CD track.
Yeah.
So back to tracks.
Yes.
Back to tracks, CD tracks. So, or your album tracks. So you want them to kind of like, you need those things to be condensed into like a starting and ending bit. So that they could play, like if you're ever listening to like comedy radio, Sirius XM, Pandora, Spotify, and you're listening to comedy, it needs to like be in a nice little package, each joke.
Yeah. And it drove me kind of crazy. It made me a little insecure. I get out there and I'm just like, my thing was like, just have fun at this point. I had my set list down on the floor if I really needed it. And I was like, it's also, you can fix everything and edit. So I was like, I just kept being like, just, if you're having fun, it'll sell, right?
Yep.
And if you lose something or you don't have a word, it's not the end of the world. But it was in the back of my head. The thing I was so insecure about is when you just do normal shows and you're having fun, it's very loose and you can do crowd work and whatever else. But there's also no stakes to it. This is like, I wasn't doing crowd work. You know what I mean? So you're relying on it. So if the energy kind of dips or whatever.
Yeah.
I mean,
it's on you.
Yeah. But it's also just on your material. I mean, you can do crowd work if you want it because you can always fix in the edit, but
it feels
stiffer, I guess, a little bit because you're so used to kind of
because you're used to being
flowing.
Able to. Yeah, exactly. But yeah, it was great. The audience, they were there for it, dude.
I know
they
both
showed
shows
up.
Were good. Yeah, I feel like the things that didn't
ready
pop in the
laugh.
First show popped in the second show. So when we go into edit, it'll work out.
I think the biggest misconception, too, is that people think that for a lot of these specials that they pipe in laughter and stuff. They don't, because that's so noticeable. So they might mix and edit like two shows together because like if one joke, like you said, does better and that's kind of how it went. I think the first show was consistent as hell. Like, I think it was really good. But if they did need to like switch out the second taping of the second bit or third bit or something like that, and they wanted to switch in, they could easily do that too. I thought it was two perfect tapings. I thought it was great.
It worked out really well. I did feel like I noticed on the second one, I think it did in the first one. I was realizing when I was going into my last or my second to last bit, I did have this like relief. I was like, okay, we're going. Because I was having
like the finish
fun.
Line.
I was being in the moment, but yeah. It's also like you're having fun, but you kind of, your brain is almost holding its breath.
Yeah.
Because you're like, okay, it's going well now, but at any point it might not. And yeah. I'm just trying to sell it and have a good time and hope that people like it. But I don't know. I'm interested.
You were so...
There's a million things I'm like, oh, I should have spent more time studying myself on stage.
Oh, bullshit. No. You were in the moment. This is what I was trying to say. Like, you were super comfy. You were in it. You looked great. You sounded great. You were calm, which was really cool. That's what, like, me and everybody who was there for you, your whole team were, like, in the back. We're kind of like, we have little comments throughout the set, like, while we're, oh, like, this is going well. That's going well. She's doing this good. This is great. Blah, blah, blah. And you were just like... The best part was how comfortable you were.
And I just told myself.
Like, you did. You manifested that shit.
Yeah, I just go.
Just like you manifested the horse and Beyonce's album coming out the same day and the weather being perfect and doing it at the right place. You manifested that shit, dude.
I think I just go, if you, you just have to lie to yourself.
Yeah.
That's what I did. I'm like, I could let my nerves get the best of me and I could freak out because this is on me, whatever else. Or I'm like, or I just lie to myself and yeah. say, I've done this a million times. I know what the F I'm doing.
Yeah.
If I tell the crowd this is how I am and this is how it's gonna go,
mm-hmm.
then they'll follow along. I can be the lion and they'll be the sheep. And
well, that's an interesting way to look at it. But so is that
I'm happy about it.
You should feel good. You feel good, right?
I'm happy about it. I woke up this morning like relieved, and then I was like, I'm ready to do the next project. I'm
yeah.
ready. What
yeah.
are we doing? I don't
That's
like
a good feeling. That means you yeah. left nothing on the table. That's great.
Yeah.
You also came up with a name for it. It's absolutely fucking perfect. It's so good. It was also one of those things that just came together. You thought you knew what you wanted to call it. You had a couple of other names for it back when you were going to do it the first time. I wasn't crazy in love with like the first other ones, but I was like, okay, it'll come. She'll figure it out. It'll come together. And dude, it was literally the night before that taping and we're just messing around. Me, you, and Kevin yeah. are in the Airbnb and you're just shooting out ideas. We're like, you're listing the last like couple of orders and then you just shot it out of your mouth. And I was like, No, that's it. There's not another question. Like, it's not up for debate.
Yeah.
We know that's the title.
Yeah.
And it's great. It's perfect title. It's perfect everything. It's great. I can't wait.
And yeah, it was so fun. I will say it was that was a very new experience for me, like watching a production there for my thing. Like,
yeah.
I wasn't part of somebody else's project.
Right. 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 Right.
And I was like, here's my instructions and I'm just gonna do my part and I hope you like it.
Yep.
It was like really
It was there for you.
It was really cool to be like, oh, I made this.
Oh, I made this. Yeah. Isn't that wild?
Oh, and like, it's on me, but I'm also like, and then as I'm doing it, I'm like, oh, I'm making this happen
mm-hmm.
now. And this is all, they're all here for me. Mm-hmm. And that is a really cool feeling.
Isn't it?
Yeah.
Well, I remember, and this is a good way to kind of round out this meaties episode because we're both exhausted and need to get home. But, when I did my album with the same production company 2 years ago, exactly 2 years ago, actually, I had Catherine there to open for me and a different. So I'd have Catherine in both shows and a different comic. Like I had two people open for me each show, too, that I recorded mine. And it felt great. And everybody was there. And I did two sold out 200 person shows and it felt amazing. But I was only recording it just for album. I wasn't trying to record it for visual. I had a videographer there. Was never happy with the video. I still had a double chin then. It was a whole thing. Anyway, so.
It's all about fixing their canvas.
So, long story short, I found out some fun information last night after your taping that at my taping when it was all about me and I was finally putting my first 10 years of material, all my favorite stuff, and I went through the whole process of lining it up, coming up with the perfect title, making sure it had the perfect order, felt really good about it. Everybody was there. I nailed it on the first one, had
so
more fun
good.
On the second
so
one.
It looks so good. I'm so happy for you.
Oh, thank you so much. And my album, when it came out, I was so proud and it sat at number one for 3 days. And it was my first giant project like that. And I'm wildly proud of it. Proudest thing I've ever done in my life, actually. And then I find out last night, because we had the same sound guy for both of ours, that he said that after my tape, he goes, I'll never forget at Lace's taping for her album, that afterward, Catherine came up to me and grabbed me by the collar.
This is the sound guy.
This is the sound guy.
whose head is
who cuts his own mullet all the way. So if y'all can imagine, if you're listening and not watching, he cuts it from the front back.
No, imagine
and then
he
stops
puts
it.
His head in a salad bowl.
Yeah,
and then he just shaves it.
No, but from the front, he puts his face in a salad bowl and then shaves the top of the salad. Anyway, he cuts his mullet back to halfway in his hair. It's pretty incredible. It's a pretty fun look. He's a cool guy. So anyway,
I grabbed him by the collar.
His name's St. Thomas. Catherine grabs him by the collar with her greedy little greasy hands, and she pulls him close and she said, "Listen here, motherfucker. You need to tell 800 pound that I'm ready for my fucking special."
And this is all about.
And he's like, "I don't know her. I just met her tonight. Who is she?" He said, "I was so scared. I even went back and told the production company." He's like, "I told the label." He's like, "There's this comic, Catherine Blanford. She's pretty adamant about getting her special tape." And they're like, "We also don't know her. But, you know, we'll put her on the list."
Yeah. So this episode is about manifesting.
So I'm just glad that you saw how good it feels like have something be about you and is everything, all of that. And then, you know.
I know I did it secretly on the side. I didn't do it like in front of your face. But I think that that's actually a really cool story. And I think that's a fun story about like, who else are you going to grab by the collar and insist that you want them to make shit happen for you? And that's what life is
about. And that's what life is about. Life is just an audio guy that you can grab by the collar drunkenly at the end of your friend's special day and threaten.
And say, "I want this too."
Yeah.
Yeah. So the next time.
Yeah.
Yeah. Maybe you're at your friend's
wedding. What's her name from Willy Wonka?
This in normal people's lives. How about we just... Maybe the next time you go to your friend's wedding and she's getting married to a really rich guy and you're like, "I don't want to work either."
Yeah.
And you go and you walk up to that guy's dad and you shake him and you go, "I want to marry your other son."
Yep. That's
you know?
The same.
That's
the equivalent.
Even if you're a bridesmaid and it's about your friend's day, you say, "I want my own day in the sun."
Hey, don't let the bride stop you from making it about yourself.
And that's what this is about.
Don't let the bride's day stop you from it becoming your day.
Yeah.
And that's really what, if Catherine Blanford could really pass anything along to anyone, it's that information.
So guys, thank you so much for coming on my podcast. I really appreciate you being a guest here today on my podcast.
Thanks for getting
Kiki's
to the meaties. I'm glad to meaties up with you. I'm glad to get to the meet. We don't know what we're doing in this podcast, y'all, but we do need your feedback. We love each and every one of y'all. You can get on iTunes and leave us reviews and rate us. It's very helpful if you love us and you listen. Thank you for continuously doing so, even though we've changed. We've ebbed and flowed.
Yeah.
You
but
know?
We're so fun. This is
over the years.
You're just
we're
welcome
having a fucking,
for the journey. This is
we're
us,
having a blast.
And we're having a blast. And I'm so
thanks
proud
for following
of you.
Our journey.
Thank you for coming and doing. Lace, you had a fun 2 weeks with me. You came with me on the Tonight Show.
I did come with you on the Tonight
and
Show.
You were there for my special.
And at no point when you walked away did I run up to Jimmy Fallon and grab him by the collar and say, "Listen here, you motherfucker.
That's why you don't have a Tonight Show set."
I'm ready. Now I found out you got a Tonight Show set.
That's why you don't
have okay, all right. Well, and when I get my lobotomy and I lose that part of my brain where I hold myself back from things...
Yes.
Then things will happen
life
for me too.
Life isn't about being there for your friends. Life is about
being near your friends while you're there for yourself.
Learning how to take advantage of your friends and getting what they have that you want. And that's the meat of it. We love you guys.
We really do.
Oh, just come go to last. I do have tour dates.
Well, they don't care.
I'm gonna be no. This is serious, Lace.
You've done your special.
You're doing the show with me. I'm gonna be in LA.
Yeah, let's do that. Netflix
April
is a joke.
April 9th for Netflix is a joke. And then I've got Denver, a lot of Colorado dates, and Carolina, South Carolina, and North Carolina dates, and an Indiana date before then. So please come to those.
Yeah.
CatherineBlanford.com.
I got a bunch of random dates as well. LaceLarrabee.com. You can check those out. I'm headlining two festivals coming up. One in April, late April. It is called Middle Ground. It is in Indianapolis, Indiana. And then I will be at Netflix's Joke Fest. And then I will be headlining Limestone Comedy Festival in Bloomington, Indiana at the end of May. I'm very excited. I got a lot of fun stuff coming up as well. I've also got 15
new tire puns.
More episodes of the game show 25 Words or Less to film. So I'm very excited about that. So that's coming up too. Thank you for being with us on our journey and supporting us. And go check out our dates and come see us and all that good jazz.
Toodles. Bye.
Bye. If you've enjoyed this episode of Cheaties Podcast, please subscribe, rate, and review wherever you listen.
And if you've been cheated on or you have cheated, you've got a cheating story that we want to hear. Leave us a teaser voicemail at 888-STABBY-8. That's 888-782-2298. And hey, while you're at it, why don't you go ahead and follow us on Instagram at Cheaties Podcast. And follow me, Lace Larrabee, at Lace Larrabee. And follow me, Catherine Blanford, at It's Catherine Blanford. Stay stabby.
Go to your ready-made horse. That's all you're good